Moncrief on News Talk.
As part of its continued cost-cutting, the BBC has announced that it has axed Ski Sunday, a show, as the name implies, that was devoted to winter sports and has been on air since the 1970s. Many winter sports aficionados are mourning the loss, among them one of the UK's most famous skiers, Eddie the Eagle Edwards. Eddie, good afternoon to you.
Hello.
Were you a regular watcher of the show?
Oh, of course, yes. As soon as Ski Sunday started, that was it. Because I actually started skiing in 1976/1977, and Ski Sunday, I think, started in around 1978. And then once that started, my eyes were glued to the telly every Sunday afternoon or early evening during the winter, and I used to love the show.
And were you seeing people on there that you thought to yourself, I'd like to emulate that person?
Absolutely, because I'd started skiing and I wanted to be the best skier that I could be. And that just inspired me to try and go to Olympic Games, because I originally wanted to go to the Sarajevo Olympics in 1984 as a downhill ski racer. And it was Ski Sunday and watching people like Ingemar Stenmark and Franz Klammer and all these guys. And I thought, yes, I want to be like them. And he was my biggest hero, was Franz Klammer and Ingemar Stenmark. They were my heroes.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, actually, Eddie, that you were looking at these people and thinking, I want to be like them, rather than thinking, I'm looking at these people and there's no way I'd ever be as good as them because I don't have the resources around me to emulate them.
Well, that's right. But I knew that I was going to have a lot of issues, a lot of difficulties, because I came from a country that really, really doesn't have any snow. You know, we've got a little bit of snow in Scotland and things like that. But I knew it was going to be against me. But we've got dry ski slopes around the country and all that kind of thing. And then nipping across to France wasn't very difficult. So it didn't really stop me doing and of course, fulfilling my dream of going to the Calgary Olympics 4 years later, rather than Sarajevo in 1984.
Yeah. And apart from the lack of snow, Eddie, and finance and all that kind of stuff, skiing is still a kind of a posh sport, or a sport for posh people?
I think it is to some degree. I mean, we do have about 150 dry ski slopes, maybe 200 dry ski slopes all over the country. So people have got access at least to a dry ski slope. And we've got a couple of indoor ski slopes around the country. But if you want to be a good skier and become people like an instructor and a race trainer, all that kind of thing, then you do need a lot of money. You need to spend a lot of time in Europe because, as I say, we don't really have much snow. And that costs a lot of money. So, you know, your average person, it's way out of their price range. So I still think it's a bit more of an upper class sport even now than it was, say, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
So when you started then, Eddie, it certainly was an upper class sport.
Oh, absolutely. And I was going right against the grain. And, you know, people used to look at me thinking, who's this little urchin coming along and spoiling our fun type of thing. And, I carried on with my ski racing and I raced internationally and then was in America. I was racing and I saw the ski jumps and I ran out of money again. And I thought I'd go and have a look at the ski jumps, and ski jumping was a lot cheaper. It cost me $5 a day to go ski jumping. So I started ski jumping and then 2 years later qualified for Calgary. And then all of a sudden, you know, all these people in officialdom didn't really like what was happening. And then when I went to Calgary and got christened Eddie the Eagle, that was it. That was the final nail in the coffin. And they eventually banned me from the sport.
Oh, God. Well, technically, what did they ban you from the sport for?
Well, they thought I was making a mock of the sport and bringing the sport into disrepute, because all of a sudden I got christened Eddie the Eagle at the Calgary Winter Olympics and it really caught everybody's imagination. But they didn't realise that I was coming from a country that had no snow, no ski jumps, no trainer, no money, no equipment. And yet here I was competing with some of the best jumpers in the world and they thought I was an embarrassment. So the British Ski Federation and the British Olympic Association decided to clip my wings and they didn't ban me directly, but they brought out a new rule which effectively kicked me out of the sport. And it was such a shame because I would have loved to have carried on for another 20 years.
The thing is, though, having done that to you, and, you know, there's probably a lot of people who watched you and said, there's this guy, he's doing it completely against the odds, but he's made it to the Olympics. And winter sports in the UK is far more developed now than it was then. And it must be down in part to you.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And I don't think they realised that, you know, the attention that I was getting was the right kind of attention, because I was bringing attention not only to the sport of ski jumping and skiing in the UK and around the world. And this was a tremendous promotion. And together with Ski Sunday, you know, kids watching Ski Sunday and they think, wow, I'd love to have a go at skiing. So I think programmes like Ski Sunday have probably inspired, you know, millions and millions of skiers in the UK. And I was a part of that as well. And I was very proud to be a part of that.
Yeah. And did it help you afterwards, after the Olympics and after the ban, and you kind of had to go back to ordinary life? You know, there was the movie made about you, obviously, but did it aid you in your normal day-to-day life?
Well, because they clipped my wings, I couldn't qualify, or they wouldn't let me jump in the World Cup and all that kind of thing. I threw myself into being Eddie the Eagle, and I was traveling around the world, opening shopping centres and golf courses and fun rides and hotels and all that kind of thing, having a whale of a time. And then eventually I got a new sponsor, went for the 98 Olympics, was jumping a lot better. And I reached that qualification. But when I sent the results to the Federation, they said, oh, well done, but we're still not sending you to the Nagano Olympics in 1998. And that's when I retired, went back to college and went to university, did a law degree, and then of course the film came out 10 years ago, and I've been mega busy, you know, for the last 10 years.
Yeah. And what have you been doing for the last 10 years?
Well, talking about the film, talking about Calgary, how I got there, all the experiences, all the funny stories that I had on my way to Calgary. And it's largely about resilience, tenacity, determination, never giving up. So I speak at conferences around the UK and around Europe and occasionally around the world.
OK, but when you did the law degree, were you thinking of taking that up as a career for a while?
Yes, I was, actually, because I went bankrupt in 1992 because of my trustees. They looked after my trust fund very badly. And it was really interesting how my lawyer and barrister put my case together. So when I retired from ski jumping and skiing, I decided to do a law degree. But to do my legal practice course to become a lawyer, or my bar exams to become a barrister, it was like £25,000, no guarantee of a job at the end of it. So then I went back to my old job of construction and being a plasterer. So I went back to that, and then did the odd talk and the odd TV show in the meantime.
Right. Okay. But now you don't have to do any lawyering or plastering. It's your full time. Your job is being Eddie the Eagle.
That's right. Yeah, I travel, like tonight I'm off to Portugal to speak at a conference in Portugal, and then I'm in North Wales, and I've got a lunch in London. So this week I've got about 3 or 4 talks. Next week I've got 1. The week after that I've got 3 talks. So, you know, I do between 1 and 5 talks a week, even now, 10 years after the film came out.
Crikey. Is it the same talk you gave, or can you kind of mix it up?
I can mix it up a little bit, but because I talk about my life, and I've only had one life, and depending on the length of talk they want me to talk, if it's 10 minutes, it's harder to talk for 10 minutes than it is to talk for an hour, because then I can tell lots of the situations, the funny stories and all that kind of thing. So I do tweak my talk occasionally, depending on who I'm speaking to and how long I've got to talk for. But it's largely about my life. So it's the same sort of talk, really.
Yeah. And do you run into any Olympians who might currently be Olympians or recently were Olympians in the area of winter sports?
Occasionally, yes, because I do some events where they have 3 or 4 different speakers, and then I get chance to meet, you know, fellow Olympians, usually summer Olympians rather than winter Olympians, because there aren't that many winter Olympians in the UK. I think the last one I met was one of the bobsledders and skeleton guys about 5-6 years ago. I did a talk. I think it was Lizzie Arnold, but that was like 5-7 years ago.
Yeah, and their attitude towards you would it be one of respect, Eddie, in that you are a fellow Olympian and not some guy who was taking the mickey?
Oh, yeah. I think mostly, I'd say 90% of the other athletes, especially winter athletes, you know, are a bit more respectful, because they know how difficult it is from a UK point of view, and a UK athlete trying to compete on the world stage, on the Olympic stage, when you've got everything against you, because we've got no ice, we've got no snow, and yet we're trying to compete on a level playing field, which is almost impossible. So, you know, we do punch way above our weight when it comes to skiing and winter sports. I think the UK punches way above our weight. right. So we do quite well, really. And respect for that and all the athletes, really.
Well, Eddie, one of our listeners, Paul, says there's only one ski jumper I know. And I think I speak for nearly all the population, and it's Eddie the Eagle. So you're the man. You're the one punching above his weight. Eddie, thanks a million for chatting with us today. That was Eddie the Eagle Edwards there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.